Good morning and welcome to the morning show on WRCO, WRCE Radio. I'm Joanne Krulotz in for Phil Nee this morning. And we are here today to talk about the Southwest Homeless Prevention Coalition, which serves five counties, Iowa, Greene, Lafayette, Richland, and Grant. And with us today, we have Michelle Frederick. She's Supportive Housing Program Director at Southwest CAP. Darlene Waldsmith is a community and business member of the task force. And Jay Muller, who's head coordinator for Bridge of Hope. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, Michelle, why don't you kind of tell us about the Homeless Prevention Coalition?
So the coalition was started back in 2007. Southwest CAP applied for grants to help with homeless people, to help with motel vouchers, rapidly rehousing people that were homeless, and to prevent people from becoming homeless. We also then coordinated with organizations to create what we call shelters. Some are a house with multiple units in it that we can house homeless people, or we have purchased or rented apartments to help house homeless people because we don't have massive shelters like they do in like La Crosse, Madison, Janesville.
And you have a time coming up. This is an important time of year for the coalition, isn't it?
Yes, we have a point in time count. We do it in January and July. This is a part of our requirement for the grant funds, is to go out and look for homeless people. Instead of them coming and seeking us, we actually go look for them.
And how do you do that?
Well, we try to gather volunteers out of the communities in all five counties to go out and travel either in pairs. Sometimes we have been able to do ride-alongs with the police departments, but with COVID and the whole thing there, that kind of dwindled some. But we'll go out and we look for people in tents in like unusual areas, parks, laundromats, parking lots, boat landings. We have found people, laundromats, different areas that a lot of us have grown to know where to look for them. But it's a wonderful experience just being able to find somebody and then being able to give them a night to get in and get a shower and a little bag of food that we make up for them.
So do you find the numbers stay pretty consistent between the summertime and the wintertime?
No. No, we're more likely to find people in July than what we are in January. It depends on what the weather is like and how cold it is. Most of them will seek shelter somewhere, so it's harder to find them.
Now, when you find them, do you help them seek shelter then?
Yes, if they qualify.
So to qualify, some of the reasons you're doing this, as we mentioned off air, it's all of this has to do with HUD and federal funding, doesn't it?
Federal and state funding, yes.
So is it then what you receive based on the number of homeless people you find?
Yes, that plays a big part of it. We track homelessness all throughout the year. Even if they're not a part of Southwest CAP going into it's the HMIS, which is the Homeless Management System. We reach out to organizations that put people into motels like Bridge of Hope, Lydia's Ministries. They will tell us their count every month of how many people they're serving with motel vouchers. And then we are able to count that on our monthly housing inventory chart is what it's called. And that also plays a big factor into what our funding is.
Does some of this go into trying to help them find permanent housing?
Yes.
So then in what ways, say I knew somebody that was homeless and I contacted you, what would be the steps to help someone gain housing?
First of all, we have to make sure they have all their documentation and help them fill housing applications out. Some people don't know how to because they've never filled one out. So we'll sit with them, we'll go through it, make sure we get all the data or information that we need for that application. If they don't have driver's license, birth certificates, social security cards, we try to direct them to the places to get them because that's all a part of the application in order for them to get accepted into housing. If they have evictions on their record, sometimes we can help get that expunged. or pay that past eviction so that it says on the court doc that it's satisfied, and that we're working with the clients to help get their bad credit cleaned up, help their eviction record get cleaned up in order to get them into stable housing.
Do you find most of them are single? Are they families?
It's both. We have more opportunity in housing shelter per se for families versus single people.
Now, Jay, you work with Bridges of Hope, which is in Richland County. Do you find that there is a large amount of homelessness in Richland County?
There's a lot of, pardon me?
Do you find there's a lot of homelessness in Richland County?
Yes, there is. There's a lot more than what people think there is, because they aren't in tune to identifying people that are homeless, which the people that work with the homeless, you can identify them pretty well by where they park in town. Usually their cars are full, and they're living out of their cars and stuff. But, yeah, that, it goes on quite a bit here in Richland Center.
So just because you see a car full of things, it's not necessarily they're a hoarder.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that they're living in. And some people just like to keep their cars full. But generally what happens, too, then their cars start breaking down. They can't fix them. So you just park them and leave them. I've had to move several cars out of the park and have them taken somewhere else because they haven't got the money to fix them. So
how does Bridges of Hope help those that you find that are homeless?
Well, I like to think that what we do is we're hands-on. And I used to intake for Lydia's House for, I forget how many years I did it. So I went in with a different program. I created this through St. Barnabas Church with the blessing. The blessing of the bishop in Milwaukee. And what we do is supply stuff that they can't get on their food share cards.
Which would be
toiletries. Yes. Big item. Toilet paper, paper towels, shampoos, fingernails, socks. Big one is socks. And stuff that they can't buy with their share cards, but they need them. And the reason that we get that for them, that gives their self-esteem a little bit better, that our saying is, this is not a handout, it's a hand up. And we've had a pretty good success rate with people not returning. And if they do return, we do have that problem. And generally we work with them and get them back where they got to go. But I broker with all the other agencies. I think there's over 16 of them.
Yes.
16 of them, yeah. Yep. So somebody calls me and says, I haven't got a place to stay. They go through a process where I do what's called intake and I get the information. I find out what programs they're on currently, if they're on a W-2 program, if they're on food share, Badger Care, and all that stuff to find out so I don't duplicate benefits. You know, because W-2 will supply them a taxi car, and I supply taxi cars on my own. So the first thing I do is say, are you on a W-2 program? And they'll go, yes. And I'll say, well, you can get your taxi card from Health and Human Services. If they don't, then I can issue that. So, and what that's to do is to get people to their appointments, whether it be a doctor's appointment, a job interview. We make sure that they got mobility to get to where they got to go. And so we supply that, but then we, and if somebody is a veteran's office, if ladies, passages, homeless, the Lydia's shelter, St. Vincent de Paul, I'm also with Salvation Army, I'm a bell ringer coordinator, I'll be back probably in October. But these agencies all work together. When you put out a call that there's somebody needs help, they're usually Johnny on the spot and helping out and stuff. And because people don't know where to go. I never knew there were that many resources. But, we're out in the middle of nowhere. The big ones are out in Madison and La Crosse. That's where your big Salvation Army is. That's where all the Catholic diocese. And so we stopped doing the count because of COVID. And the diocese out of Milwaukee signified that they were letting up their restrictions on the COVID. We're starting to go into regular communion and all that stuff. But they let us use the church. and that's okay with them. So we open up the church to anybody that wants to come in. That's a pinpoint where the where they take off from is the middle of town, and they go out and do their counts. Then I supply. We have goodie bags there for people that may stop in at the church, which is right across from the shopping. You can't miss. It's got a big red door. Well, it did have, but anyway, I always go in the back door. But anyway, and so we get together, and they go out and they do their counts and stuff. They come back, they eat, we discuss exactly what we're doing and what, you know, what type of people are out there. And another thing, too, with keeping track of all these agencies, we can find out which people are not really doing the best to get out of their situation. So we exchange not names, but situations. So,
what types of situations do you find in Richland County?
Generally, last year, Bridge of Hope helped 13 families, 22 children, 5 couples without children, 1 single male, 1 single female, and then we supplied a backpack to somebody because we have a whole regimentation of what you get if you're you call Bridge of Hope. So, but this year has been, I don't know. I'm over top of last year's number by February.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm in the hundreds now. So it's getting to be, it's not, with supplements going off of COVID, supplements for medication, they now have to pay the full price for their medication. And also their food share cards have been readjusted. So they can't get as much on the food share cards, which flips them over to the food pantry, which they can get food there. And there are some rules and regulations to that now.
Well, did the numbers decrease during COVID because they got the supplements? Or
yeah.
Is this...
Mm-hmm. It did a little bit because... I did caution people, you know, if you're getting this stuff for COVID, you know, put a little bit of that aside because it isn't going to last forever. You know, it's going to come to an end. And I think that now... it's been busier because these subsidies are going out. And then the moratorium on evictions, and that's done with now too, isn't it? Yeah, so. And if they need, like if they need HUD vouchers, or direct them to HUD. I have a relationship with them, HUD. I'm on the United Givers board, so most of these agencies receive money from United Givers, which would be, well, you may think it's kind of weird, but Ukush Humane Society, if there's a family that has a dog, we can make sure that dog has, or cat, has food. We don't want table scraps going to the dog. They have their own food, and so we supply free food for pets if they're homeless and stuff.
About how long does someone stay, I don't want to say a system, but when you start working with them, about how long does it take to help somebody get back on their feet?
That really depends on the person. When they're brought in and they're homeless, they're given direction of what they have to do in order to get themselves, it's stuff that they don't know about, getting a caseworker. Getting all the stuff that's warranted from social services or from Bridge of Hope. And so they can draw from those resources. But there's a certain amount of time. I give them what's called a honeymoon period. And that's where I just let them get their showers, get fed, and get a little bit settled in. And then we start in with the giving a list of all the agencies in Richland County that they should contact and see what's available to them. And just to show example how this network, this has been quite a while ago. We had a lady come in from, she had 2 children. She came from a domestic abuse situation. She was homeless, and she came into the food pantry. By the time that evening, and I'm going to mention the thrift shop, too, because they're a good partner of ours.
Great.
Yeah. So that evening, not only did she have food in her cupboard, she had a roof over her head. And plus, we had the thrift shop open up and give her all the stuff to set up her kitchen and stuff. So, in one night, 3 different agencies made sure that she was taken care of. And we don't get many repeats.
Well, and I think that's what Darlene wanted to touch on. You know, it's the Southwest Homeless Prevention Coalition, which means many groups come together to do one task. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what you wanted to touch on, Darlene?
I do. Thank you for bringing that about. I am a community and business person, and with the coalition at this point in time, when I did start, I was one of the work programs that is offered here in the county. And I still offer those types of services because I'm very comfortable with getting people their resume ready and helping them find a place to settle is very much a part of it. You can't hold down a job unless you have a place to live. And you can't have a place to live without food in it. And you can't. So this is part of us being good community members and good stewards of our of the people in our community, is that we do appreciate and have people that are part of the community. I also used to work with the state and federal government, so I'm very patient in helping people get to where they can call an agency and get that help, and then remind them, okay, so you called yesterday, did you call again today to make sure they got your message? Or did you, because urgency has a lot to do with it, but when you're thinking about food, you're not thinking about anything else. And you need those people in place to help remind you that these are the steps you need to take. So part of my supportive role is not only to hand the brochure and say, these are the people you need to contact, but also remind them and have that personal relationship with them that they know that they're not alone on the walk.
You become a mentor, so to say.
Yes. Yep. And or a resource, just because once you've kind of been there, you know what the steps are. I went through a period of time when I had three children and was homeless. And people don't look at me now and say, you were homeless? Well, yes, I was homeless. I lived in a shelter for a while at Passages, which is very dear to my heart. And I got help from all these other agencies to help get myself back on my feet. And I know that our system here in Richland County works when we all work together.
Do you think that you're able to then meet those needs emotionally for those that are going through it now because you experienced it yourself?
I believe so. It really puts a different spin on it. Before I became homeless, I didn't have a clue. I donated to Catholic Charities. I donated to Salvation Army. I might have done a bell ringing or two. And this is in another place. When I moved back home, those were the services I needed, and I was thankful that some of it was in place. And then we talked about the coalition and got the coalition. There was one, but it wasn't as active. And since 2013, 2014, it's been very, very active. It's been a really good experience.
I think it's interesting to note, too, that you said before you were homeless, you were one of those people supporting the programs.
Yes.
And you came full circle that, I need their support now.
Yes. It's one of those things. It's just like needing help from certain agencies due to your age or ability or anything else. You don't know when your time comes that it could be you. And also, when it comes to homelessness or being rehomed, it's a process. It's not something like, we're just going to slip you in here. It's more like we need to have it in place to where somebody can stay for 3 months. Somebody can stay for 6 months. Okay, you've done this, gone this far. Let's try to find you something else. And Southwest CAP, I have to say, is one of our gold mines. And Michelle works really well with getting people started in the system and then helping the CAP folks, helping keep and retain our people here, so that if you want to live in Richland County or you want to live in Southwest Wisconsin, CAP helps that happen until you get to a point where you can do it on your own.
Do either of you have anything to add before we take a break?
Basically, too, what Bridge of Hope does is mm-hmm. supply the other we can supply yes. Emergency food, because the food pantry is on Wednesdays. But if you run out of food on the weekend, you're pretty well So we run emergency food on weekends and stuff until they can get to the pantry. But we supply them with stuff. Mm-hmm. We supply passages with stuff.
Yep.
And also hospital we supply with stuff.
I like to say a lot of the churches in town, when asked if you need resources, will help too. Mm-hmm. So I just want to put that out there. We have a really nice group of churches that, that also put that out there.
The ministerial
association. Group.
And they're the ones that, that's the board of Lydia's house. That is their, that's their baby.
Well, we'll take a break and then we will come back and kind of talk about the point of count and how you can help as an individual in the community. And we'll be back in a moment. Are the needs different in each of the five counties, or does HUD look at it as a whole one Southwest?
No, it's determined kind of by each county, how high the needs are. So Richland County right now is one of my higher counties. The next county is Iowa County, and then it would be Grant. So it's, how do you want to say? And it can shift, like, monthly of who has the higher needs based on who we're serving. And all of that percentage gets turned into the state. We track them through the homeless management system is what we call it. So their data goes into a private data system that nobody has access except for somebody that's been trained to get into that data.
And so then when you do these counts twice a year, your funding is based then on a six-month time frame. Is that how that works?
Yes.
Based on that count that you get.
Yep.
So this one coming up, you really are looking for people to help you out, aren't you?
Yes.
And what type of people? I mean, can they be any background? You know, what are you kind of looking for?
It can be anybody. We have a really good group down here that gets together. They go over what is expected when we go out on the night of the count. One is safety is a huge factor. We want people to go out in groups. We would like not to have them singly because we're asked to wake these people up to get information. So we have two different forms we can do. One is a observation form. So obviously, if you feel your life is in danger or it's in a situation you do not want to approach, you're just going to fill out this form, and it's going to have some identifying information on it, like they were in a car, in the park. If you can get the driver's license, that's great. If you can, like if you see any identifying features, like they have a tattoo or they wear glasses or older gray with beard, mustache, something that tells us that if somebody else identifies the same person, that we can match them forms up so that we're not doing duplication. The other form is a full survey that will ask them a series of questions. How did they become homeless? How long has it been since they've been in permanent housing? So that gives us an idea of how long they've been out on the streets. And then we'll get more date of birth, their genders, and that information will all go into the homeless management system.
What is the average age in, you know, that you're finding homeless people?
It's a variety. Really? It really is. We're starting to see a lot of 18-year-olds right now having issues at home, and mom and dad are just saying, you're 18, you're out on your own now.
Oh. So the next count is, I believe you said July 26th.
Yes.
Now, what time of day do you do these counts? Because if I remember right, they're at night, aren't they?
Yes, they are. We kind of start working our way out about 9:30, just because here in the rural communities, it takes us a while to get to point A to point B. So there is some travel time. But we are expected by the state and federal funding to go out from 10 o'clock until 6 o'clock the next morning.
So it's an all-night thing, not just a couple hours? Or
yes.
And is that your plan then for the 26th?
Yes. We will hopefully have several groups out covering all of our counties in different areas. You know, we're required to cover every inch. Sometimes that is not feasible because we don't have enough volunteers to do that.
Now, Darlene, you're a community member, and you said that you participate in this.
Yes.
So are you kind of recruiting people then to help you out?
I am recruiting people, and also you can call either myself, which is 608-647-0255. Jay, what is your phone number?
608-647-3169.
Or calling Aging and Disability and talk to Roxanne. She can help. What we are also trying to do along with the count is to be able to prove that we covered the whole county. So part of doing the count, whether or not you find someone, is still saying, okay, I went to Ithaca. Okay, we went to Viola, and we looked along the way, and what our route was and where we looked. And that's the kind of information I help compile together so that we can submit that in and say that we did a thorough search.
And Jay, you mentioned they will start at St. Barnabas Church.
That's our pivot point right there. And then at the church, we'll have goodie baskets for people that want to stop in and if they're in need. And also we'll supply, we'll have some snacks. And usually for the volunteers or anybody that comes in, because at the church actually is where all my my commodities are held at. They're in the basement of the church and are all categorized and put away and stuff. So if somebody would come in need, I've got stuff right on hand for them.
So anybody can come and help you out on July 26th and at 9 o'clock at night?
Well, are they would meet at the church first.
In years past, it's been 7, right?
Pardon?
7 or 8. What time are we meeting this year? We're having our meeting today at noon to discuss the exact specifics.
I'm thinking probably maybe 7 or 6.
Yep. Yep. Because of COVID has changed a few things in that we can send groups out and then people keep their forms because it does go for a few days afterward also. Mm-hmm. We like people to do their route more than once, if at all possible, so that because it's a matter of where and when people are rather than going through it once saying, well, there's nobody here. That's not necessarily true. That they weren't there at that moment, but that doesn't mean that somebody won't be there 5 minutes later. So we kind of like to have groups go out or individuals that don't want to drive, but they want to partner with somebody. We can have drivers, people who want to drive, and people who want to count, people on foot, people on bicycles. We can do a whole planes, trains, and automobiles sort of any type of way that you think that you might be able to go out and reach people.
So if I'm not comfortable going out and connecting with a homeless person, but I'd still like to help, I could just volunteer to be a driver.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. And we will partner you up with someone who doesn't want to drive but might want to, you know, do the rest of the work in other ways.
And I think it's important to mention and reiterate that this is a volunteer program.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, there's no compensation.
Grassroots right here.
Right.
And if you're a young person and for your high school requirements, with your parents' permission, we would be able to give you volunteer hours to go toward any kind of program that you're in or scholarship that you're applying for, anything like that, too. So we do have that capability also.
Do you have to be a certain age to volunteer?
No, as long as you are with an adult supervisor, if you are under the age of 18.
Yes.
For sure.
Now, if I can't, you know, volunteer for that night, are there other ways that I can help out?
By all means. Businesses can take on the form, and even a few days after, during and after, a business that might be able to see someone come in, on, like at a gas station, or let's say your business serves food, and you know someone is coming in, you can still help us by filling out those forms.
Yep.
Now, is there a cost to do this that maybe, you know, I can't be there and I don't own a business I could donate? Is there cost to running this point in time count?
Well, most of it gets paid through out of my grant through Southwest CAP. But donations are always greatly appreciated. We have very limited funds on the amount of motel vouchers that we can do out. So if somebody were to make a donation, whether it's locally or to Southwest CAP's Southwest Homeless Coalition, we would put it in an account and it would be there to help support somebody to get at least a night stay in a motel where they could get in and get a good night's rest, get showered. And then we have the opportunity then to start making a game plan with them. So that would give us the initial contact with them that we could start supporting exactly. them going forward, or the Bridges of Hope or Lydia's Ministry. So having that extra dollars to help support motel stay is huge for all of us, just because we don't always get enough money to support that.
So the 26th at, it sounds like 6 o'clock at St. Barnabas. If
starting
you want to
at
help
6,
out.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody will start their routes around 9:30.
And be ready to stay awake all night?
We're only required, you don't have to be out the whole time of the count, mm-hmm. but you have to be out at least a couple of hours.
Okay.
And if we want, we can do it, break it up into shifts. So if somebody wants to go out from 9 until midnight or 1 o'clock, and then somebody else chooses to go from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock, that's acceptable. Again, once all the communities collect their data of where the volunteers went, how many volunteers went, who went out, so the state requires me to fill out, an Excel spreadsheet that tracks everybody that helps us. So having the law enforcement involved is huge. They're now asking us if we have EMS or the fire department available to help go out on the counts. That all gets tracked, and it, you know, just shows how we're getting our communities involved in this count. So when I put that final report into the state, it's going to tell how many volunteers we had from different groups, how many are from churches, how many are from the school districts, how many youth did we have involved in the count. That all gets tracked through our communities and then submitted in on the reports.
You know, there's a number of coalitions right now in Richland County that are focusing on a healthy community, and this is all part of making Richland County healthy again, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So, well, I wish you the best. Is there anything else you wanted to share, any of you? Or
nope. If you're willing and able, give us a hand, and hope to see you all on the 26th.
Well, and just to recap, what happens when all the counters are out and they come back to the church and we sit down and we eat? But that's the time we all get together and discuss stuff, because usually it's phone, emails, and stuff like that. This is where we actually, you know, we can discuss some of the clients we've had in the past or how they're doing and stuff, and just over the whole general mode of the county.
To share your successes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There are successes. Yes, mm-hmm. there are. Mm-hmm. There's more successes than there are failures.
Exactly. This is one coalition that has stood over the test of time, because not only because it's so needed, but because of the community involvement. And I just want to put out there that other community members, if you want to have the brochures at your business, please give us a call too, so that we can reach people. Each one of us can reach somebody different than someone else, and you can help in that way. It's a real small but significant way we can help someone else.
And as a reminder, if I can't go out and help on the 26th, but I want to help the coalition, what do I need to look for? What does a homeless person look like?
That's a good question, because I could be walking down the street and it could be you, Joanne.
Yeah.
And yep. I wouldn't know it.
Nope.
Unless I were to follow you and possibly see that you're getting in a car with everything that you own in the back seat.
And in the meantime, you might get arrested for stalking.
Exactly. That is true.
And her grants don't cover bail money.
But I guess that's the biggest giveaway, is if everything they own is in a car.
Yes.
You know.
Or in a backpack. Or in a bag.
Yes.
Yep.
Bag. Or backpacks.
A tent in a friend's yard that you have all your belongings wrapped around you or inside your tent. There's a lot of ways of one is getting involved and learning what to look for is huge.
Or if you're doubling up with another family, let's say that's not your permanent abode. That's a temporary place to stay.
Transitional
housing, exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, I thank you for your time and wish you the best on the 26th. Tomorrow we will have the Richland Hospital with CEO Bruce Raisler and the new chairman of the board, John Anier, with us on the morning show.